let me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. Today is our inner peace call, and the topic is Love Yourself to Peace, one of my very, very favorite topics. I want to just welcome all of our live listeners, those of you that are listening to this as an MP3 or CD. Very excited about gathering on our call today. And as a lead-in, most people judge themselves 1,000 times more harshly as they do others. Most people are better at generously loving others while only giving crumbs to themselves. And most people never take the time to explore their relationship with themselves. But if you're on this call, if you're listening to this as a recording in any form, you're definitely different. And you've embarked on this path of personal growth, and you know your relationship with you affects everything else in your life. A great quote by Mahatma Gandhi, "Love is the strongest force the world possesses, and yet it is the humblest imaginable." So here's what we're going to be covering tonight. We're going to be talking about spiritual wholeness, what it means to fully accept all of who you are, and that does mean the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to talk about three paths to wholeness, and as we talk about each of these, I mean, we can take them as an individual, okay, this is nice to know about, but my challenge for each of you is really, you know, how deep do you want to go, and how deep are you willing to go? How free do you want to be? We're also going to talk about what it's costing you to not stay in your own business. We're going to talk about how we can use our reactions to create greater spiritual wholeness. We are going to explore why the emotional state that you hate experiencing the most is actually the one that you need to most love yourself in. Seems like a wacky concept, but when you really get this, there's really no emotional state that you need to run from. And we're going to wrap up the call by really exploring 6 keys to expanding unconditional love to yourself, even in the seemingly most difficult of times. And for those of you that are here on the live line with us, we definitely want to explore some questions together about how you express love to others, how you know others love you, and really look at this love relationship with ourselves. So let's dive into this idea of spiritual wholeness. Like, what does really that mean? So this idea of embracing all of who you are. That means the light qualities, that means the dark qualities. It's really loving ourselves in every capacity, like every single nook and cranny of our humanity. And we're gonna explore 3 paths to wholeness here in a minute. But we want to take that as a foundational concept. And then we talked about this, you know, like what does it mean to stay in your own business? And this is a concept that comes from Byron Katie. She talks about that there's 3 kinds of business. There's my business, there's your business, and God's business. And anything that's out of my control, your control, or everyone else's control, that's what we'll call God's business. And we can kind of get a pretty good idea about, you know, what other people's business is if we're projecting how somebody is going to feel or react or, you know, choices, behaviors that they've done. Like, that is all out of our business. And when we get caught up into, you know, what's another person doing? Are they still going to love me? Are they not going to love me? Are they going to call? Are they not going to call? Or when we start getting into predicting the future, think about it. All of our energy and attention gets caught up over there, whether it's in the future, in God's business, or in somebody else's business and choices. And then we might notice that there's really no one here for us. It's really the source of what creates separation. And nobody wins when we're not in our own business. If we're focused on ourselves and our connection to who we are, our power, our strengths, our gifts, our present moment, this is when we really have the ability to show up more fully in the most challenging of circumstances. So just a little concept to keep in mind when we're talking about spiritual wholeness, because we cannot be whole when we're over there in somebody else's business or in God's business, which, of course, has a lot to do with the future and all these circumstances that are just way outside our control. So let's talk about how we return to wholeness. And fortunately, the world is wired in a way that helps us become whole again. And there's literally countless opportunities to recognize those parts of ourselves that we've not yet fully embraced. We might say that we've actually disowned. And the world, people around us, are constant reflections of our own inner world. And as soon as we become, well, I should say, until we become conscious of this truth, stress, pain, suffering are absolutely certain to arise, because when we judge, when we resist, when we hate something outside of ourselves, we're unconsciously judging, resisting, disliking, or hating a part of our own humanity. And that separation is what results in pain. So we might, if we're judging somebody's behavior about even maybe how they're treating us, it's like it's an opportunity for us to go, okay, ding, 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 ding. It's like, what is it about their behavior that I haven't yet fully recognized within myself? Maybe I'm not doing it to that person or in the same way. Maybe I'm actually doing that behavior to myself. Somebody's being mean to me outside. It's like, well, how am I being mean to me? Somebody's being disrespectful to me. Well, how am I being disrespectful to me? And when we can begin to take ownership here, we really begin our path back to wholeness. So I want to look at and discuss three paths to wholeness. And when I say that, it almost sounds simplistic. Great, three paths to wholeness. One, two, three. Each one of these is a journey and is not a one, two, three, nothing that we could cover in true comprehension, certainly in an hour call, or even over a few months period of time if you really wanted to be diligent about it. So I want, as I offer up these three paths to wholeness, I really want to invite you to take these on as ongoing practices to deepen. We always have whatever life is presenting us as our stimulus to look at what we need to work on next. So if something's not pushing your buttons and causing you to react, then great. You know, you might not have as much to focus on. Usually we all have something. If we really get honest with ourselves, I know many of you here on the line, in fact, I know some of your individual situations and circumstances and so forth. So life has sort of a way to kind of stir things up. And, you know, I like to get excited. When my buttons get really, really, really pushed, it's like, okay, this is really ultimately an opportunity for me to become even more whole. And as I'm wholer in my relationship to me, then I live from a greater place of emotional freedom. I have a greater sense of inner peace. I am able to show up in a different way in my business, in my personal relationships, in taking care of myself. So get excited. that whoever's out there pushing your buttons, think of them as an angel in disguise. Some of them are literally angels. Sometimes they can be our children. Sometimes they can be our mates, our partners, our loved ones, the people that we admire most. They can come in all kinds of packages. Sometimes they can show up as just a really annoying, irritating person, but okay, great. As an opportunity to really look at your relationship with being annoying and irritable, you know? So, that being said, number one is embracing your light and dark, your path to wholeness, embracing your light and dark. And to make this super easy for you, I think most everybody here on the line has a copy of my book, The Power of Inner Choice. If you go to pages 286, 287, you will see a list of light qualities and dark qualities. Certainly, this is not a complete comprehensive list of all qualities of what we are as human beings, but it's a great place to start. And this is an exercise. We actually do this at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat and really spend some time with this. But you can do this on your own by just pulling out the book, going to pages 286, 287, and starting. You can start with the light qualities. You can start with the dark qualities. Very often, even the light qualities, the good, you know, quote-unquote good qualities, or it can be equally difficult to be with. Sometimes it's difficult to be with how you are a, you know, you're, you know, a healing person, or that you're brilliant or courageous, right? Or nurturing. Maybe you're not connected to your nurturing side. Maybe that's an easy one for you. But here's how the practice looks. You want to basically go through each list, and it's very simple. It's simply a I am praising. And you kind of sit with it. And if you can sit and feel a sense of ownership with I am praising, then good. You know, that one's owned and integrated. If you get to another one, remember somebody at our retreat got to I am patriotic, and boy, it's like, why would anyone want to be patriotic? It's like, I don't like that, you know, because to her, she had all kinds of connotations about the negative aspects of America and the things that are going wrong in the government and so forth. So the idea of I am patriotic was a disconnect for her. And so an opportunity to take each one and be with it until you can find really a sense of peace where you can find that quality within you. Maybe you don't like how our government is being run, but I am patriotic. It's like I'm patriotic when I acknowledge the freedoms that this country offers, that I can have my own business, that I can post a blog and say whatever I'd like, or that I can walk freely in the streets without, you know, the fear of somebody to come along with a machine gun, which is the case in other countries. Right? So one by one, you go through. The light ones are generally easier, not always. The dark qualities, of course, you know, to really sit with. You know, I am, what's a good one here? I am resentful. It's like, resentful. It's like, that's not a quality I like to say about myself. I'm not resentful. I might say that, but I might look and see, you know, where have I been resentful? And just to own it and acknowledge that this is one aspect of being a human. And while any of the dark qualities, let's say you're sloppy, I'm going to read a few, excessive, clever, dull, suspicious, punitive, cynical, stubborn, controlling, whiny, rough. If any one of these feels like, you know, it's like, I'm definitely not that. Manipulative, there's a good one, right? No one likes to be manipulative, and yet, can we find where we are manipulative? Maybe we do it in a nice way. Maybe we do it in a covert way. Maybe we do it in a horrible way. I mean, it actually doesn't matter. What matters is, as you're naming each part, each one of these qualities, is to acknowledge it within ourselves and to have a sort of sense of compassion for that. You know, I am manipulative. It's like, you know, I can sure find how I'm manipulative, and if John doesn't, do something that I would like him to do, and I think I might be able to influence him, I might get a little whiny voice, or make a little whimper sound, or make a certain face, or, you know, roll my bottom lip down and kind of be pouty as a way to manipulate John into watching the movie I want to watch, or, you know, not leaving and going for a run and instead going for a walk with me, you know, something like that. Maybe it's relatively harmless, but if I can just own that, you know, I am manipulative, there's way more freedom and power within myself. I can now more consciously choose to be manipulative, or maybe I'll rise above it and have a choice that, no, you know, I want to not do that so much. So embracing your light and your dark. And what you can do as a way to walk yourself through this exercise is, let's say we'll take I am manipulative. You want to write down three ways that you express that quality in at least some way, right? And again, we want to compassionately recognize these qualities. That's really the key. And we also can look and say and recognize the gift of each quality. And when we recognize, you know, there's sometimes when manipulation can be good. Manipulation can be good because maybe it ultimately brings about closeness. If John was going to go off and actually, real life story, last week he was going to go off for a run and I kind of did the pouty thing. I was manipulative. We ended up going for a walk. It actually ended up being just a really phenomenal conversation. I had some big breakthroughs around my business direction. We ended up connecting up with some friends of ours. They met up with us down at the beach, and we came back, and it turned into just a really great evening with great conversation, great friends, all out of this seemingly bad thing called manipulation. You know, so sometimes it can nudge us on path. And there's a gift in each and every one of the light qualities and each and one of the dark qualities. So I invite you to go and pull out Power of Inner Choice, pages 286, 287, and walk yourself through each one. It's a really, really powerful, powerful exercise. And I'll say one more thing about how I often use this. Sometimes in the moment when I have a reaction, I will stop and just real quickly, real time, say, you know, I am that, or how have I been that in the past? And if I can connect even for a minute about how I've done that, I don't know, maybe it's something related with, here's one. I was going to say, related to the kids, being sloppy. It's like, okay, so maybe sloppiness isn't one of your standards. Maybe you really take pride in being orderly and having things in order. And, you know, we're a bit annoyed at some sloppiness that we see, whether it's our kids or the way somebody's dressed or whatever it may be. But if we can even just stop for a second and say, you know, I can find where I'm sloppy sometimes in, I don't know, responding to an email or with how paper is organized on my desk, or, you know, what happens when I get home from a trip and take a day to unpack my suitcase, right? If I can just acknowledge it for a minute with compassion, I'm going to find a lot greater sense of peace and wholeness within myself. So play with that, embracing your light and your dark. As Debbie Ford likes to describe, those qualities that we resist about ourselves, it's equivalent to holding a beach ball underwater. if there's some qualities we say, you know, I am definitely not that. Well, to the extent we resist it, it's going to come screaming to the surface, either in a volatile argument or it's going to show up in terms of the people around us. So we're going to have people that drive us crazy until we can stop and really find those parts of us, own them compassionately, find the gifts in them. So again, like I said, this isn't a, you know, 1, 2, 3, great, you're done, but a path to go out on for those that really want to take this work deep. And then the next one I'll just talk about real briefly is inquiry. And this is Byron Katie's work, known as the work, process of inquiry. And what we can do is, as we notice our reactions, we might, through the process of going through the four questions and the turnarounds, discover some other blind spots. So we've talked about in a previous call, the call on releasing stressful thoughts. We talked a little bit more in detail about the process of inquiry. We'll probably have a call coming up sometime over the next several months around inquiry, where we just spend the whole time doing the work. Another really, really powerful process. And to the extent there's reactions, particularly in relationship, it's an excellent tool. Pull down the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, which is in the forum for Momentum Mastery. If you go to the featured tabs, you'll see exercises and handouts. And if you go there, you'll see that's one of the handouts is the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. So highly recommend going there and basically judge your neighbor, write it down, ask the four questions, and turn it around. And again, this is another one really to spend time with. And those people that really work inquiry on an ongoing basis end up creating a lot of emotional freedom, spiritual wholeness within themselves. So it works miracles. And then finally, the third path to wholeness is really about loving yourself. And when we can really learn to love ourselves in the difficult moments, in the ordinary moments, even the moments of celebration, really all facets of our life, it's one of the fastest paths back to wholeness, is just loving yourself in whatever moment is arising. And of course, the ones that are stickiest, where we get caught in emotional turmoil or reactions, those are the times when we don't really think to stop and love ourselves. It's a time when we resist that state, and as we do, we're literally cutting ourselves off from our sense of power. And even last night, yesterday was sort of a, I don't know, maybe I was hormonal, I can blame that, just with some different decisions making in my business, some other news that I had gotten that sort of, you know, kind of disappointed me and so forth. I was in not such a great mood and feeling a little bit down and wasn't as productive as I wanted to be. And so, of course, that leads to more beating myself up. Gosh, you know, wasn't productive. Let, you know, a perfectly good day go with not accomplishing some of the key tasks I wanted to. I was in that mode. Then my husband called, and they actually found out from one of their new strategic partners that they are going to have funding to move forward with a project. So kind of a big deal, actually not even a kind of big deal, super huge deal. And this is going to set a lot of things in motion for one of his businesses, Aerogen. And so they were all getting together for dinner, and of course I wanted to go over, be the supportive wife, and join in, and I'm driving over going, man, you are in a lousy state, and you're going to be the wet noodle on the, you know, in the scene, and, you know, that's not good. So I knew I needed to get myself back to a place of wholeness, right? And I did actually two things. One, I did a gratitude flood, where I just really started connecting to all the things that I really could be grateful for in my life. That's a great path back to wholeness, is to do a gratitude flood, one after the other after the other. But then the other thing is simply loving yourself for being in exactly the state that you are, not needing to change it, not needing to force it to be different, but really just, you know, where you are is perfect. And when we can have that sense of compassion for wherever we are, being in a state of confusion, you've got monkey mind going on and you can't get certain thoughts out of your head, or feeling particularly annoyed with a certain person and not quite being able to shake it, or not quite being able to find the quality within yourself like we talked about and have that compassion. Again, just loving yourself in exactly whatever state that you are in, kind of loving yourself back to peace, is one of the quickest, fastest, most direct ways to do so. I want to open up for discussion and really talk about how we can really love ourselves. Because for some, that may be a foreign concept. We're generally more conditioned to love the people in our lives, love our pets and our children and our friends, and love externally. And in fact, I was talking with a gal, an exchange on Twitter, about I'm much better at giving, but the whole idea of having a relationship with herself and giving love to herself, completely foreign concept, completely foreign. So let's talk about just expressing love in general. And for those on the listening line, I'm going to open up the lines. And the inquiry is, what ways do you express love to others? Often the way that we can most recognize how we can love ourselves is we can just look at, well, how do we express love to others? So an easier question to start with. But those of you on the live line, what ways do you express love to others?
By accepting them exactly where they are and who they are, for who they are.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Accepting them for exactly who they are and where they are. Very nice.
I would say listening, trusting, and respecting.
Beautiful. Listening, trusting, respecting.
And encouraging.
And encouraging. Very nice. Might we do the little things for them? You know, do lots of little things to make their lives easier.
That brings to mind always wanting to say yes.
Always wanting to say yes. That's a nice way to be loving towards somebody.
Telling them that you love them and appreciate them.
That's a nice one too. Love that. Maybe letting the love flow freely and abundantly and generously. Maybe even notes of affection or complimenting them. How about that?
Yeah, or acknowledging.
Acknowledging. Nice. Maybe offering help or support. And here's one. How about just spending time with them?
Yeah, like enjoying their company.
Enjoying their company. Very nice. Maybe even hugs and kisses. Here's one a past participant said, admiring them through my eyes.
Also, doing something that you may not particularly do by yourself, but because they enjoy it so much, you do it with them.
Doing something they enjoy. Nice. How about forgiving them when they don't follow through with their promises? Could be another one. Well, let's look at this next inquiry. What ways do you know others love you? How do others express their love to you? So really step into that and really You know, what is it for you? What ways do you know others love you?
Making time for me?
Mm-hmm. Making time for you? Excellent.
And the small things. My husband makes me a fruit smoothie every morning.
Ah, okay.
He makes me.
Small things. Those fruit smoothies, those very nice. And the acts of service.
And smiles and hugs and kisses.
Smiles, hugs, kisses. Very nice. Certainly add feeling listened to or understood. How about being considerate of my feelings? Ah, here's a good one. Letting me mess up without judging me.
Trusting that the other person, like with my husband, I trust that every decision he makes, he really has my best interest at heart.
Ah, okay. Great. There's a nice belief that every decision is trusting that it's in your best interest and he's thinking of you.
Yes.
Nice. How about, let's see, they want the best for you. They share their deepest, most vulnerable parts of themselves with me. That's certainly one of the ways that I know others love me and express their love to me.
And they respect you, and then also whenever somebody loves you, they care for you. Like when I've had surgeries in the past with my ex-husband, I felt like he was taking care of me out of obligation. With my current husband, whenever he takes care of me, I feel it out of love.
Mm.
You can feel the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So real caring for you. And it sounds like just a real genuine giving. Yeah, really nice.
And Mary, going back to wants the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget this moment when I had the experience of my mother loving me. It felt like she'd been trying to tell me what to do all my life, and she was telling me or checking in to see if I was eating my oatmeal for breakfast, and I don't even like oatmeal, but I had this moment where I thought, oh, she just wants me to be healthy and take care of myself. And when I saw that, all of a sudden the experience of being loved by her just flooded me. So.
Mm. Really powerful. Wow. Mm. How about, oh, here's another one. How about holding you and your dreams high? And another one that kind of goes along with listening and being understood, but they're present for me. It's one thing I really appreciate about my husband is his presence. Just, and granted, there's times he's doing other things as well, but I really feel his love when I feel his presence. Nice. So there's lots of things, and I invite everybody to continue to expand on this list. What ways do you know others love you? And then let's look at this last one, which is, what ways do you express love to yourself? What ways do you express love to yourself?
Self-care.
Self-care, yep. And what are some ways of self-care?
Eating properly, exercising, and getting massages.
Mm. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And just self-improvement. I mean, knowing that you never arrive, just constantly growing and learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great way to be loving to yourself. To give yourself an opportunity to grow and learn. Mm-hmm.
And I've been asking myself a lot, and I think it's because of something that I just read in your book, but when I start feeling not so lovable to myself, I'll ask myself, if somebody else did this, how would I feel? So I'm trying to treat myself the way I treat other people.
Very nice. Exactly. That's exactly where we're going here. You got it. If we're having a hard time coming up with, well, what are the ways that I'm loving and kind to myself, we might go to the other list and think, well, how can I do that for myself? What else would you add? What ways do you express love to yourself? What would you add, Gail?
So I'm really thinking on this one. And I'm remembering this moment when I used to think that I loved myself when I was, I would come in after a long day and I would ride the elevator up to my apartment. It was years ago. And I was like, it felt loving. And then somebody suggested to me they love themselves when they take the stairs so that they're actually exercising. It's like it confused me.
Aha!
It's hard to know what's loving and what's not loving. And maybe it's all loving. Maybe there are just different ways to look at it.
Exactly. And maybe it's dependent on the moment, what's really needed.
Yeah.
Sometimes the loving thing is to give yourself that extra sleep. Sometimes the loving thing is to get up a little early so that you can go meditate or get a workout in.
Yeah, that's really great, Mary. What I heard in that was really not having it relate directly to the behavior, but to how the behavior matches the moment.
Exactly.
So black and white. That really makes a difference.
And it's tricky because we can certainly justify. I hear this one a lot, right? I'm loving when I give myself chocolate or, you know, indulging in ice cream or whatever. And again, it may very well be in the moment. And it's up to each person to kind of, you know, sit in that question and really see, you know, is it really loving in that
given moment? With that, they could think that it was loving, but then really it's not loving because if their stomach's in turmoil after eating all that ice cream or chocolate, then really they couldn't have been loving to themselves in the first place.
Right, right, exactly. Or if they're, you know, borderline diabetic or, you know, there's lots of situations we can look and see, ooh, you know, that maybe isn't so loving and kind. But it may be a really good, you know, a really nice way to give yourself a treat after eating really healthy for a period of time and accomplishing something, right? But again, it all is out of the present moment. It's not a, and I think that's true with every single thing on this list. So other things about, I'll share some other ideas that have been shared over the years. Responding to Spirit's guidance, being gentle with myself, taking a nap in the afternoon. Ah, good one here. Allowing myself to be imperfect. Responding to my needs. Making time to do the things I like. Curling up with a good book. Imagining the best case scenario. Now, how loving is that? We can either feed ourselves with great visions of the future, or maybe the not so loving thing is to paint the road of disaster and cause ourselves to suffer in the moment, even though we have no way of knowing what the future is going to come, right? Another one, slowing down, eliminating hurry. That's a nice one.
Great list.
Mm-hmm. Pampering myself. Awareness without judgment of self. Love that one. Anything else we'd add here to this list?
No, I'll add, this sounds simplistic, but making sure I get enough water.
Yes.
It's like hydrating and.
Love that. Really, really good one. Oh, and here's a few more. Asking myself a powerful question. Appreciating all aspects of myself, including my shadow. Finding the blessing in everything. Honoring my integrity. Even if other people don't like, even if it disappoints other people, right? Really being true to yourself. I mean, what a loving, kind thing to do. And I have to say, when I wrote this chapter, actually lesson number 11 of Power of the Inner Choice, I really was walking myself through this exact exercise and noticing some of the loving things that, you know, I thought other people did for me and other ways I expressed my love to others. And I decided really to try some of these on. Even though some of them seem like they might not make sense, like, you know, take myself on a, you know, be taken on a date. Well, I actually took myself on a date once by myself. We went to a movie and we went to Taco Bell of all places, and I really stepped into what it was like to just be treated, and I was excited, you know, and sharing this time with me. Or we might say love and affection. Okay, that might be another one. You're like, well, you need another person for that, Mary. But if to really think about even stopping and just caressing your body with lotion, sensual touch, just really physically giving yourself the love and nurturing. It's actually a practice that a lot of relationship coaches will give people as just a way to create more intimacy with yourself to open up to more intimacy with others. Or another one, there was, I think, one about gazing lovingly into somebody's eyes. And maybe that's another one. Well, you kind of need another person. But if you pull out a mirror and sit and just give yourself love in the mirror and really sit with yourself until you can really feel that love connection flowing, it's actually one of the more transformational exercises that I've come across in the self-love department. And I have to cop to the fact that the first time I experienced this mirror exercise at a retreat, you know, we got the hand mirrors and we're there looking in other people's eyes and feeling love, and then pull out the mirror and I'm looking at myself and I thought, oh my gosh, I was noticing actually a little bit more, it was just more harsh. I was feeling a sense of judgment towards what I was seeing in the mirror, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't be looking at others in this way. I know that's not, you know, how it is. But I sat, stayed with it, and allowed it to transform. And it's another great practice to take on, even just 5 minutes a day of looking yourself in the mirror and just being with yourself in a loving gaze to really build that connection to yourself. It may sound silly, fine, no one has to see you doing it, but try it over a period of time and notice what the impact is on yourself. Certainly a sense of unconditional love is one of the more powerful practices that we can do. And of all the daily rituals that I've done over the years, I have to say that just this little idea of stepping into a place of unconditional love is probably the one that impacted my confidence the most, my self-esteem the most, by just taking those few little minutes to connect with who I am. And it doesn't mean that it's perfect and I'm not unwavering now. I still have my moments like I did yesterday. But the base is so much stronger than it was well before I started those practices. So any other thoughts or comments about this kind of loving yourself, ways to express love to yourself?
How about not taking yourself so seriously?
Oh, there's another good one, huh?
Yeah, learning to laugh at yourself and just not be so serious.
Great. Love it. Beautiful. So let's talk about some ways to expand unconditional love for yourself. And there's 6 ways, and I'll go through them relatively quickly, so we'll work to wrap up this call. So the first is simple acts of kindness. And these simple acts of kindness include acknowledgement and appreciation for yourself. Like really thinking of yourself as though you're treating yourself like a friend. What are some simple acts of kindness you can do for you? Acknowledgement, appreciation, could be even getting fresh flowers for your desk or work environment. Simple acts of kindness. Number 2, being responsive. So if we think about how we would be to a child or my little puppy or a really, really good friend that was in from out of town that I just so wanted to take care of, how responsive would I be? You know, guests come over to the house, we can tend to be really responsive. How are you responsive to you? When you want a drink of water, do you respond immediately or do you make yourself wait for an hour until you're really, really thirsty? Or if you have to go to the bathroom, do you, somebody said this at one of my retreats, they called it pee stress, where you stop and you don't let yourself go to the bathroom for X period of time, even though you have to go. It's like a loving thing to you. Be responsive. You have the urge, pick up, get yourself off to the bathroom. Sounds really silly, but you get the point. But being responsive, just as you would respond to a dear friend. Number 3 is expanding awareness. Expanding awareness. If you think about it, when we drop into that place of awareness, that witness, that part of us that is as though we're sitting in the movie theater and here we are living our lives as we are on the movie screen, there's a part of us that is like in the theater, a part of us that is observing us doing life. There's a part of me that is here talking and engaging with all of you, and there's a part of me that is noticing and is aware of what I'm doing. And the more I connect with that part of myself that is aware at different times that I'm moving throughout the day, think about it, we're dropped into the consciousness of love. Without a shadow of a doubt, every time I've done a guided awakening with an individual or a group, and we drop them into that place of awareness, that place of awakening, the experience is one of love and stillness and spaciousness. So the more we can spend time in that awareness, the more we're going to have a sense of that love inside of ourselves viscerally. Number 4, accepting our humanity. So this relates back to the first path to wholeness about embracing our light and our dark qualities. But we might just look at it as, what parts of your humanity have you resisted accepting? Or what beliefs or ideals have you attached to? So maybe, in fact, one of my clients was saying about how he wasn't really at peace about his anger, about anger as an emotion, about expressing it, about being out of control, right? But if you think about really what is it to embrace anger as just one aspect of who we are, if somebody's about ready to harm a child, one of our children, and we're being threatened, anger can be a really useful, empowering, and powerful emotion to tap into. There's a place for anger. And sometimes anger can fuel change to happen and inventions to be made. And certainly I know it's one of the things that fuels my husband's business on transportation. Every time he gets in a car and is driving somewhere, he often gets caught up a little bit in the anger mode, but he's also very present that it's about fueling the bigger dream and vision about transforming the way that we do transportation in the world, right? So there's a way you can embrace that aspect of yourself. But accepting our humanity, not being perfect, being all the different qualities we are. Number five is forgiveness. Forgiveness. So coulda, woulda, shoulda, all day long, we can beat ourselves up indefinitely. And we all know people that have done that, that for years have not forgiven themselves for being neglectful, maybe losing a marriage or doing something that ultimately involved an accident and maybe harm coming to one of their children, right? Or maybe not playing full out in the last 30 days and working on your business. But question to just step into is, where have you not fully forgiven yourself? Forgiveness is a way back to, again, it's kind of all of the things. It's back to embracing our humanity. It's back to having love and compassion for ourselves. And then finally, we'll just have a kind of the catch-all category of loving yourself. And the way I like to break this down is the kind of three big categories: difficult moments, ordinary moments, and celebration moments. And I'd love to invite you to brainstorm five difficult moments that you don't typically turn on the full-on self-love for yourself. Name five of those. And then the practice becomes, when those situations arise, that your job is to really practice loving yourself in those moments. So you're not able to complete a task or, you know, get several things not complete on your to-do list, let's say, for example. Maybe you would count that as an ordinary moment, not a difficult moment, but let's just say it's a difficult moment. That's not a good time for you. Then great, full on practice loving yourself in this situation. An incomplete to-do list. Or maybe you've just been super judgmental about a person in your life that just drives you bonkers beyond belief, and you're thinking all kinds of evil thoughts about them and wishing harm to come to them or whatever it is. It's just imagine yourself. It's, first off, we can't 100% control our thoughts. If you think you can, you probably ought to be awarded a Nobel Peace Prize if you can actually do that. But thoughts arise. We can call forth certain thoughts in our mind, but the reality is thoughts come and thoughts go. And if we can love ourselves for just being human and allowing whatever thoughts to come through us, we'll find ourselves, again, back, loving ourselves back to peace. So take whatever those difficult moments are, jot five of them down. I can remember, actually, it was during writing this chapter. Of course, the universe loves to dish out real-time things to write about. And it was during this very, very difficult relationship that I refer to as my dark night of the soul period. And it was one of those times when I was just in absolute turmoil and found myself literally crying on the floor of my living room and just sobbing. And I was just writing this chapter about loving yourself. And so it occurred to me, like, okay, you know, here's an opportunity to really love myself in this situation. And it kind of looked something like me talking to me in just a loving, compassionate tone of voice, Mary, you know, I'm here for you. Take as long as you need, you know, it's okay, just, you know, you can cry as much as you want to. And when I really surrendered to this loving myself and just being distressed and in turmoil and bawling my eyes out, what naturally occurred is just a sort of sense of peace came over me. You know, I'm literally bawling on, you know, going through all the Kleenex, not running out of my nose, and even giving myself permission and loving permission to take as long as I need, it's almost amazing just how quickly it resolved. So something to practice and do, whatever your most difficult moments are. The second time to really practice loving yourself is the ordinary moments. So difficult moments, ordinary moments, and celebration moments. Ordinary moments, pick five ordinary moments that happen in your day-to-day. It could be brushing your teeth or maybe fixing that oatmeal that you don't make for breakfast or going for a walk with your puppy, sipping on your fruit smoothie, anything that is just considered an ordinary moment, and just practice turning on the self-love for no reason. Just practice giving yourself that unconditional love as though you were getting it from all of the people in your life that love you the most. And then, of course, the final category is the celebration moments. And sometimes we don't acknowledge ourselves as much as really we could and should. And when things go well, to really, really stand in the loving yourself, how you handled the situation, how you showed up, how you accomplished a goal, but to really love yourself for the things that you do well. Not to minimize, not to brush off, move on to the next task or project, but to really, really love yourself. So the assignment, so a few assignments for the week. One is identify one emotional state that you hate experiencing, one that you resist the most. Maybe it's anger or frustration or overwhelm, or maybe it's even depression or sadness. It can have any kind of look. And really consciously focus on loving yourself in that moment when that arises. And that'll be a great thing, those of you that are playing full out in the forum. Of course, we've got the commitment contest going on through June 1st. That'd be a great topic to share with the group. Second assignment is to really practice loving yourself. And, you know, this you can draw upon all of the things that we brainstorm here. I'll be posting notes in the follow-up notes section. You can draw on any of the ideas we've got here, come up with ones on yourself. And, of course, the big key is to really take in and receive the love that you're generously dishing out to others, right? You normally are giving it out probably in spades to others. We want you to take in and receive the love for yourself. Really take it in, you giving it to you. Then you want to identify five ordinary moments where you could practice loving yourself more fully. Write those down. Practice loving yourself during these moments. Next assignment, five difficult moments that you could practice loving yourself more fully. Write those down. So we're giving you lots of extra opportunities to love yourself. And yes, 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 that's the whole idea of this call, is about loving yourself back to peace and really playing with that. So let's just check in with our live listening audience. Which is it. What we always like to do is to wrap up the call is to take, you know, what are you taking of value from today's call? So who would like to share what you're taking of value from today's call?
Hi, Mary.
Hey there.
I'll go. One thing you said tonight that I actually had never heard of before, and I know too, because after being sick all last year, I put on more weight than what I like, and it seems to sort of, I'm having a difficult time taking it off.
Mm.
Whenever I look at myself in the mirror, I keep saying, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. So I'm going to practice looking in the mirror and lovingly, because I've never heard that before, to gaze lovingly at yourself in the mirror.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And I will tell you, it's one of the things that radically changed my ability to lose weight was about loving myself exactly as I am. It sounds almost counterintuitive, But loving your body exactly as it is, seeing yourself there, something shifts. Because when you really authentically love yourself for exactly how you are, you make food choices in a different way. You exercise in a different way. It creates a ripple effect. So can't wait to hear about how that goes for you. Nice. Okay. Well, with that, you know what your assignment is a lot of love, and in a lot of situations that you may not have been loving yourself previously. Can't wait to hear how it goes for you. Send me an email, post in the forum, and remember, our next call is actually next week. Generally, our calls are every other week, but I had a birthday in April, so next week, next Tuesday, will be an open coaching forum. Bring your questions, bring your coaching situations. I'll look forward to speaking with you then. And with that, have a fabulous night, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.